Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics on the whole specification, understanding how cities in developing and emerging countries are structured and why they look the way they do. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to describe and explain the site, situation, and connectivity of a city like Mumbai, and you'll be able to walk an examiner through its internal structure, from the CBD right out to the urban-rural fringe. That's the kind of specific, confident knowledge that earns you the top marks. So let's start with the big question. Why does a city exist where it does? Every city has a site. That's the actual physical land it was built on. And it has a situation. That's its position relative to the surrounding region. These two things together explain so much about how a city grows and what it does. Let's use Mumbai as our case study. It's a brilliant example of a city in an emerging country, India, that has been shaped entirely by its geography. Mumbai's site is a peninsula on the west coast of India, jutting out into the Arabian Sea. Historically, this gave it a natural harbour, a sheltered bay where ships could dock safely. That harbour was the reason the British East India Company chose it as a trading base in the 1600s. So right from the start, Mumbai's physical site determined its function as a port and trading city. Now, its situation, its position relative to the rest of India and the world, made it even more important. Mumbai sits on major international shipping routes between Europe and Asia. It has rail connections to the rest of India, and today it has two international airports. This connectivity, at local, national, and global scales, has made Mumbai India's financial capital. Here's a key exam point. When you're asked to describe a city's context, you must address all three scales of connectivity. Local, how people move around within the city. National, how the city connects to the rest of the country. And global, how the city connects to the wider world. Examiners are looking for that three-scale thinking. Now, let's talk about internal structure. What does Mumbai actually look like from the inside? Think of it like rings on a tree. At the very centre is the CBD, the Central Business District. This is where land values are highest, buildings are tallest, and the density of commercial activity is greatest. In Mumbai, this is the Fort area and Nariman Point, packed with banks, offices, the Bombay Stock Exchange, and high-end retail. The CBD has excellent accessibility because all the transport routes converge here. Moving outward from the CBD, you enter the inner city, sometimes called the transition zone. In Mumbai, this is where you find a fascinating and challenging mix of land uses. Old colonial-era buildings sit alongside modern apartment blocks. Factories and workshops are squeezed next to dense residential areas. And critically, this is where you find some of the world's most famous informal settlements. Dharavi, one of the largest slums in Asia, sits right in the inner city of Mumbai, home to around 1 million people in just 2.1 square kilometres. That statistic is worth remembering. It shows the extreme population density that characterises the inner city of a rapidly growing developing world city. Moving further out, you reach the suburbs. These are more planned residential areas with better infrastructure, wider roads, schools, hospitals and shopping centres. In Mumbai, areas like Bandra and Andheri are suburban zones that have grown rapidly as the city has expanded. Housing quality improves as you move away from the inner city, and land values, while still high, are lower than the CBD. Finally, at the outer edge of the city, you reach the urban-rural fringe, the transition zone between the built-up urban area and the surrounding countryside. In Mumbai, this is where you find new housing developments, out-of-town retail parks, and the beginning of agricultural land. It's also where informal settlements sometimes reappear, as the poorest migrants who can't afford inner city rents are pushed to the edges of the city. So to summarise the internal structure, CBD at the centre, then inner city, then suburbs, then urban-rural fringe. Each zone has distinct characteristics in terms of land use, building age, population density and quality of life. And crucially, in a developing or emerging country city, these patterns are shaped by rapid urbanisation, rural-urban migration and inequality, in ways that are quite different from a city in the UK or Western Europe.
Right, now let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. You need to know how to use it. The most common mistake I see in exam answers on this topic is candidates describing a generic city rather than their specific case study. The examiner does not want to read about a city in a developing country. They want to read about Mumbai or Lagos or Rio de Janeiro or whichever city you've studied. Named, specific, detailed. That's what earns the marks. The second big mistake is confusing developing country cities with UK cities. Remember, in the UK, the inner city often has regenerated with new apartments and creative industries. But in a rapidly growing developing country city, the inner city is often still characterised by overcrowding, informal settlements and poor infrastructure. Don't mix these up. The third mistake is forgetting to link structure to context. If a question asks you to explain why a city has a particular structure, you must connect it back to the site, situation and history of that city. Mumbai CBD is on the peninsula because that's where the original colonial port was. The inner city is densely populated because of rapid rural-urban migration. The urban-rural fringe is expanding because the city is growing outward. Every feature has a geographical reason, and examiners want you to explain those reasons. Now, let's look at command words. If you see the word describe, you're being asked for what, not why. Give two or three clear features with supporting detail. For example, Mumbai CBD is located on the Kalaba Peninsula and is characterised by high-rise office buildings and the Bombay Stock Exchange, reflecting its role as India's financial centre. If you see explain, you need to give reasons. Use connective language. Because, this means that, as a result, therefore. For example, Mumbai CBD is located on the peninsula because this was the site of the original colonial harbour, giving it excellent accessibility to international shipping routes. As a result, commercial activity concentrated here, driving up land values and leading to the construction of high-rise buildings. If you see assess or to what extent, you need to make a judgment. Weigh up different factors, consider different perspectives, and reach a conclusion. Don't just describe, evaluate. One more tip. Always use geographical terminology. Words like site, situation, connectivity, urban-rural fringe, CBD, informal settlements, rural-urban migration. These signal to the examiner that you understand the subject. They're not just fancy words, they're the language of geography, and using them correctly earns you credit. Okay, time for our quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the questions, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then press play to hear the response. Ready? Question 1. What is the difference between site and situation? Site is the physical land a city is built on. Situation is its position relative to the surrounding region. Question 2. Name the four zones of a city's internal structure, from centre to edge. CBD, inner city, suburbs, urban-rural fringe. Question 3. What percentage of India's international trade passes through Mumbai? Approximately 60%. Question 4. What is the name of the large informal settlement in Mumbai's inner city, and how many people live there? Dharavi. Approximately 1 million people in 2.1 square kilometres. Question 5. Give two reasons why Mumbai CBD developed on the peninsula. First, the natural harbour provided shelter for ships, making it ideal for trade. Second, the British East India Company established a trading base there in the 1600s, concentrating commercial activity in that location. Brilliant work if you got those. If you struggled with any, go back and reread the core concepts section of your study guide. Let me leave you with a summary of the three things every examiner wants to see on this topic. 1. A clearly named case study city that fits the definition of a developing or emerging country city. Don't be vague. Name it, describe it, use it. 2. Accurate use of geographical terminology. Site, situation, connectivity, CBD, inner city, suburbs, urban-rural fringe, CBD, informal settlements, rural-urban migration. 3. Explicit links between the city's geographical context and its structure. Why is the CBD where it is? Why does the inner city look the way it does? Why is the urban-rural fringe expanding? Answer those why questions and you're well on your way to the top marks. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exams. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing those exam answers, and remember, geography is all around you. Until next time.